Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody. It's good to see those folks online as well this morning. Hopefully, we worked out the bug that we had last week. Those that tried to tune into our live stream last week got scrolling announcements with voice. And that was rather unique if you spent the time to listen to that. Appreciate that if you did. But I believe we've got that taken care of. We are still looking for someone to kind of help us out in the sound booth to push a couple of buttons to make the stream work on Sunday morning so that when the pastor forgets something or whatever the case might happen to be, that we can get that taken care of. See me if you're interested. Remember, our offering boxes are out in the entranceway. You can put your offering in there. Also, this morning, we are going to begin our dollar offerings. Now, the dollar offering is on the third Sunday of the month. And what we do is we ask everybody, if you can afford it, to just put a dollar in a special offering. Now, our kiddos are the ones that take up that offering. So after the children's sermon, they pick up, and we have wonderful buckets. There's blue and purple and orange and yellow and pink. And they grab a bucket, and you wave your offering in the air. The children will find you and track you down. And then once the offering is all taken, they bring it up here and put it in the Well of Hope. Now, in the midst of it, if you have not been here when we've taken up the dollar offering in the past, it's a little bit of pandemonium, and we enjoy that and celebrate that as the kids go out and find the dollars. And like I said, if you've got a dollar to put in, just wave it, and they'll be around to get it. Then that offering goes to dig wells in India and Bangladesh so that they can have water. Kind of having real water is a symbolic act of giving them living water, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that will begin. We're firing that back up today. Also, this is week four of our 10 weeks that we're going through Hebrews chapter 11. This week we're going to talk about Abraham, Father Abraham, and so that will be coming up in the sermon. A couple of prayer requests this morning. Ask if you would please pray for Virginia Brooks. Virginia fell yesterday and broke her hip. And so they kind of got her somewhat sedated at the hospital in anticipation of surgery probably on Monday. And so keep Virginia Brooks in your prayers. Also, if you would keep the family of Ed Yund in your prayers. Ed passed away this past week. His service will be, let me back up just a second. Ed Yund is Carol Mills' father. His service will be next Sunday, the 26th, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at Central Christian Church downtown. And so keep that in mind. Probably later today, we'll have that up on our Facebook page if you'd like to go and check that. It's also through the newspaper, and you can check it online at McIntyre, Bradham, and Sleek. Also, remember an individual that had a motorcycle accident. His name is Billy Hamilton. He fell asleep driving the motorcycle, and he has several broken ribs. They're pretty sure he has broken his back and has possibly a skull fracture as well. They're keeping him sedated so that he doesn't move, to give his body some time to kind of adapt and deal with some of the injuries, but keep him and his family in your prayers. Again, his name is Billy Hamilton. Also, a number of folks struggling with COVID asked for special prayer for Bobby Shutt, Shirley's son. He's home from the hospital, taking oxygen at night, but is still struggling with COVID. Keep him in your prayers. And I've just heard of another of several individuals that are fighting that. Keep that as a matter of your prayers as well. Anything that we may have missed this morning, Alita? remember the family of David Platt? Planks. Plank. P-L-A-N-T. Remember this family. The mother passed away a week or so ago, and now the father has passed away. They have kids in Apple Creek in the schools there, and so please keep this young family in your prayers. What a devastating thing. Any others? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father and our God, we gather together here, and Lord, we understand that you know the needs and the desires of our hearts, and today there are many that are on our hearts. There are those that have lost loved ones, and we think especially of the family of the Platts and also of the Yun family. And Lord, we just ask that you would draw close to them and wrap your arms of love around them. And Lord, assist them through the grieving process. We know of your promise that those that know you as Savior spend eternity with you. And Lord, this time between now and then when we're all together is but a blink in the eye of eternity. But Lord, we live in that blink each and every day. So draw close to these families and touch hearts and bring healing. Lord, we ask you to be with our nation and our world as we continue to fight against COVID and trying to figure out just what is the right thing to do. And we ask for wisdom. We ask for your insight. We ask for your guidance each and every day. Lord, help us to find the way forward. And Lord, many individuals are coming down with the COVID, and it's a very difficult thing to deal with. And we ask you to be with all of those folks. We ask you to be especially close to Bobby, and Lord, have your hand of healing upon him. We hope that the worst is over, but Lord, we need your direct intervention so that his body can heal and he can get back to work. And Lord, there are many others that are struggling, and Lord, touch and heal. And Lord, we know that we're far from the end, but we know this. We know this, that you are the God that loves us, that watches over us, that stands beside us each and every day. Continue to give us your hope and your love and your healing power. And Lord, we ask you to be with those. There's been some accidents, and Lord, we ask that you'd be with Billy, and we know that he's out of it. And Lord, we ask that you would draw close to him, and Lord, allow his body to heal. And we're not sure the extent of all of his injuries, but we know, Lord, that you are greater than anything upon this earth, and we ask you to be there and to heal and to give strength. Lord, hear our hearts as we cry out to you. Lord, hear the things that are near and dear to us. And Lord, continue to move your hand and use us as part of your workmanship, that you might raise us up, that we might make a difference in this world in which we live. We ask that you would walk with us as a body of believers to carry us forward, that we might make inroads, that we might be able to share your love and the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that we meet. Lord, that they would see you at work in our hearts and be drawn to you. Lord, help us to live each and every day. Help us to give you praise and honor and glory, that the rocks would need not cry out. That, Lord, our hearts, our souls, our lives would cry out to you. And, Lord, we would reflect you in all that we do and all that we say. Watch over us. And all these things we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand and join us as we open our worship this morning with "Jesus is All the World to Me."
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trials sore. I go to him for blessings and he gives them o'er and o'er. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, golden grain, sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny when he's so true to me? Watches over day and night, following him by day and night. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now, I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Such a friend, beautiful life that has no end, eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend.
Now let's sing about the wondrous story. I will sing the wondrous story.
I will sing story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Days of darkness still come o'er me, sorrow's paths I often tread, but the Savior still is with me. By his hand I'm safely led. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
You may be seated.
Our scripture this morning is from Hebrews 11. 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God.
All right, now, do you know what this is? I know you can all read what's on the front. It looks like a credit card, but it's for the library. It's a library card. And with a library card, you can go to the library and you can check out any book that you want. And they have videos. They have actual videos that are on tapes. They have DVDs. They have CDs. Some of this, you have no idea what I'm talking about. It's okay. But they have all kinds of things. They have books. And you can, do you like to read books? I like to read books. Books are fun because we read a story and it's almost in our mind's eye. We can see everything that's going on, and it's a lot of fun to read books. But you know how much it costs to be able to get books from the library? You know, because nothing is free anymore, right? Except the library is free. Yeah, you get a card like this, it didn't cost me anything. And I can check out books for free. You know, it's almost like being in a family. Did it cost you anything to be in your family? No. You moms, dads, grandmas, they're bringing up stuff that has nothing to do with this. But you don't have to pay to be part of a family. You get to have brothers and sisters sometimes. You have moms and dads. And it's a wonderful thing. And it's free. The church is God's family. And we get to become part of that for free. And we get to become part of God's family by knowing him and being, well, as the songs we sang, being a friend. And getting to know him and accepting his forgiveness. And then we become part of his family that we can get to spend eternity with him. And that's really cool. So let's bow our heads and have prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that libraries are free. We thank you that families are free. And we thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you made, that, Lord, salvation might be free, that, Lord, we would get to spend eternity with you. And we look forward to that, but help us each and every day just to live and to live knowing that you're part of who we are, part of our lives. Watch over us this day. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to do the dollar offering. And so everybody can go over and pick up a bucket, and then the folks out there are going to wave money in the air. And you get to go get it. Oh, clear up front. Awesome. Now, the folks online cannot see, but to just paint the picture a little bit for those online, you have everybody in the congregation waving money to get children to come be with them. And the kids are hunting for those waving money, and they're just all over the place. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Third Sunday of the month, you want to be here for this. It's the first time I've seen Jim open his wallet for a long time. It's just wonderful to see that. And then when you get them all collected anymore, okay, bring them down, you empty your buckets in there. And then you can put your bucket back over on the front pew there. Awesome. Thank you so much. Oh, thanks for getting that one. All right. Way to go, Lucy. Well, cool. All right. Everybody's helping. That's way to go. Way to help your brother. Well, thank you so much for your help, and the kids are headed out back. I don't believe we have special music. Is someone singing special music today? Good. We'll see. Roberta was hanging at the door. She got nervous all of a sudden. Yeah. But it's just great. It's good. We're going to just go right into the sermon, and we're going to talk about Father Abraham. And there's a song. There's a song that I learned when I was at church camp many, many moons ago. I'm not telling anybody how long ago. But it was entitled the same as my sermon. It was entitled Father Abraham. Now, I am not going to sing it because nobody wants to go through that. But I do have the words, and I'm going to peel them out because sometimes in front of people, I get nervous. But I do have the names of the song, and the words go like this. It's Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. And then you would say, right arm. And then you would do this with your right arm and sing it again. Father Abraham had many sons. And you go through that. And then when you're done there, you would say, right arm, left arm. And so then you'd be doing this kind of stuff. And then it was right arm, left arm, right leg. Then it's right arm, left arm, right leg, left leg. And there you are marching. And then it was turn around. And so you're turning around while you're singing the song. And then you would sit down. And then everybody would go quiet to see who started singing another verse. And it was always fun. And it was always a good time just being together. And kids liked it because it was action. And you sang it real fast. And they would have trouble keeping up with the words. And it was just a ball. And really enjoyed those times. And even as an adult, being with the kids and singing, it's just really good. But there's a message that's there in Father Abraham. And it starts out, Father Abraham had many sons. And many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. This morning I want to talk about that inclusive family. This group of individuals that God promised to Abraham that his heirs would be as many as the stars in the sky. And there's this dynamic in Scripture that means both here and now, but not yet. And that's what was being used here, because he was telling Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. And we know that from Abraham, through his children, two great nations, the Arab nation and the Jewish nation, trace their roots back. But not only that, in the now, in the future, because when Christ came, because of Abraham's faith, because of his obedience, because of these things, all Christians would be part of this Abrahamic family. And that thread weaves all the way through that now but not yet dynamic that we know that has come to fruition, because we get to be part of that family of God. Now, Paul tells us in Romans that Abraham received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe. That's why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all its offspring, not to those just who adhered to the law, but also those who shares the faith of Abraham, the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. See, what was trying to tell us is that this concept of a family, this concept of all that Abraham stood for, is kind of brought forth and comes down to each and every one of us. It's by faith through grace that we become the children of God and part of the family of Abraham, because Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them. I hope that you are too. So let's talk about that this morning as we kind of walk through the story, the account of Father Abraham. And I have four things this morning in copying Abraham's faith. And the first is that it's about the why. Sometimes we get so caught up in in the do that we forget the why. And I wanted to just spend a little bit of time that it wasn't about what Abraham did. It's why he did it that made him our example and got him mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, that hall of fame of faith to kind of lead us forward. You see, just like Abel and Enoch and we've talked about the last couple of weeks, Abraham, he really didn't do all that much. He didn't build massive mansions or temples or great cities. And basically, the only property he ever really, quote unquote, had his name on was a cave where he buried his wife that he bought from the Hittites. And Hebrews 11:9 says that by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land. And he lived in tents. Have you ever gone camping? I mean, a couple of weeks ago, Lynn and I, we got to go camping for the weekend. It was a couple's retreat. It was just a really great time together, and we lived in tents, which really means we just sweated a lot. And in the tent, you ever have trouble sleeping at night? And there you are, you're laying in a tent, and there's other tents around, and you're trying to think of all the different noises that you hear and figure out if one of them is really a hungry grizzly bear. And there you are, you're kind of laying awake, and you're looking up, and the stars are shining. There's a little bit of moonlight going on, and there's a little, you can see a little bit. It's not pitch black, and you're looking up, and trees move as the moonlight comes down through them and on your tent, and their stuff is moving. And you think about how solid a tent is. Boy, that would keep, you know, some mosquitoes out. Raccoon could just tear that thing to shreds. Did you ever see the teeth on an opossum? Boy, they could get right at you. Let alone some of the dangerous animals that are out there, and your mind begins to wheel. And there, he lived all his life in a tent. Ugh. But you see, when God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I want you to move. I want you to go to a place. I'll show you where it is. I could tell you exactly where it is, but you wouldn't believe me and you wouldn't have a clue what I was talking about anyway because you've never been outside of Worcester. So I can talk about Texas, but you wouldn't really understand. What I need you to do is just pack up your camel. You know, put everything, you know, in the Equinox so that you can take off and head to parts unknown. And by faith, Abraham said, all right. And he packed up. I can't even imagine. Just packed up everything. Left his family. Put everything, I don't know, whatever you put it in, a knapsack, I don't know, everything he had. Because God promised, just go over here and walk with me. You see, the why is the faith that Abraham had in God. And that why, when God asked him to leave, there wasn't a question. He didn't argue with God. He didn't ask him all kinds of silly things. God said, go, and because of Abraham's faith in God, because of the relationship that he had, he just said, okay. Wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome that we have that kind of a relationship with God, that if God says go, we just say, okay. Well, yeah, what about the details? Well, yeah, I know all about the details. We'll get to them. But God said go, and so we're going. Would you be willing to say yes? Second, in copying Abraham's faith, we need to be willing to be obedient. He believed, then he obeyed. So many times we get this out of order. We want to be obedient, but we haven't spent enough time having a relationship. And we need to understand that, the why dynamic, the relationship with God, the connection that we have with Him, when that is strong, then we're able to say yes when He says to leave. We're able and willing to be obedient, even if what God is saying doesn't make perfect sense to us, because of the relationship, we're willing to take that step. I remember when my boys were little, there were four steps up to a little landing, and then it went on upstairs in the house we were at. And Aaron loved to crawl up on that landing. And so I'm like, okay, we're going to teach trust. And he would crawl up there, and I'd put my arms out, and I'd say, jump. Little kids don't have much smarts, do they? He just jumped. And he would jump and I would catch him. I'd set him on the floor and he'd crawl back up. And he would jump and I would catch him. I'd set him on the floor and he would crawl back up. And he knew that that little landing there was really a launch pad, or at least that's how he thought. So I had to be careful every time I went over close to there, because if I stood there too long, Aaron would slip right up there and he would jump. Usually he would squeal a little bit, you know, that high-pitched laughter giggle that little ones have as he jumped, which would give me a clue I better be ready to catch. See, he believed. And Aaron, there was no doubt in his mind, if he jumped, Dad would catch him. And if Dad was anywhere close, Aaron would jump, because he knew Dad would catch him. And I knew as a dad, when I heard that noise, I had better be doing the catching. Because otherwise, little boys flying like that are not good landings. And it was my responsibility to catch. Are we willing to jump? Are we willing to have that relationship that when God says it's time to move, it's time to change direction, that we're willing to obey, even when we don't know all the details of what lies ahead? Will we be obedient? Now, I'm going to draw a line here, and obedience and loyalty are pretty close, but I think we want to look at them a little different. In copying Adam's faith, we need to be loyal. Loyal is defined, or basically is, well, in a friendship, it's that individual that will be there when you need them. It's that individual that you can count on. You know, when you ask for people to show up to help you move, to help you, you know, bring a piano into your house, or a sleeper couch, or I just bought a new gun safe and need help getting it to the basement, and you put out the word, there's certain individuals that are loyal to you, you know they're going to come. I mean, they're going to come up with every excuse under the sun. They're going to tell you how much they need to be bribed in order to be there. But they're the ones that are going to show up so you can figure out how to get that to your basement, in your house, whatever it happens. Those individuals are loyal. They would always show up. They would be there for you, and in the same way, to be there for God. In my mind's eye, as I think of Abraham, if God would have said, I wanted something done, Abraham would have been the kind of guy that said, where and when. You know, if God would say, jump, Abraham would be saying, how high on the way up, and then do everything that he could to get there. So when he said, to go to a country that I will show you, Abraham just moved forward. So if God called you to do something for him, the question that we have this morning is, would you? Would you leave your comfort zone and do something challenging because you're loyal to the God that loves you? I want to take a couple of minutes, and I just want to highlight a couple of things. I know these are part of my family, but they just fit this morning. God called Aaron and Lena to go to Wright State. And I remember when the boy was trying to figure out what college he wanted to go to, I'm going to tell you a secret. Wright State was not on the list. And he would write it down and I'd erase it off. I didn't want him to go there. There were several other colleges that were more familiar to me, that were closer to here. You know, Malone is just over in Canton, Findlay, just a little bit further west. Good, solid schools. Well, you saw who won the argument. Aaron went to Wright State, and I think it was because God had some things in store for him that weren't going to come to fruition if he went someplace else. And when God called him and Lena to continue to work there with H2O, he just said, okay. Newly married, willingness. It's a congregation. We have a sister church in Haiti, and we're doing something neat with them. We just decided a council meeting. They want to have a party for individuals that want to get married, because in Haitian culture, if you're going to get married, you have to invite the village, and that means feeding everybody. And they just don't have the wherewithal to do that. And so we're going to help them out to have a party so that these couples can get married and actually hear the gospel in another way and be able to be married together and not just live together, but make that commitment to each other in front of a village. And we were able to help them make that happen, and hopefully we'll have some pictures in the not real distant future of that celebration. We're digging wells in Bangladesh, and wow, there's a lot of bills in there, and that's just awesome. Every $500 we send it in, because they've said about $500 to bring water to a village in India or Bangladesh, and that water goes with the Christian blessing. It goes to a Christian company that's digging the wells that are bringing life-giving water both physically and spiritually to the village, as they go from one to the next. We're taking food box to 22 homebound people/families on a monthly basis. And you can see the boxes that are out there. And there's some, I don't know, zucchinis and bell peppers and stuff that's going to go out to them as well. Willingness to step up. A willingness to sometimes not do everything that we could. My son Luke went down and spent the summer at Camp Odiokwa and worked there for the summer, and it's awesome. They pay $2,000 to go down there and work for the summer, and you begin to think about that, and it's $2,000. That's pretty good, till I remember that last year for 20 hours a week that he delivered pizza and made almost three times that. And so it's a willingness to say, yes, I'm getting paid, but I'm going to go down and do ministry for a summer to make a difference in a kid's life. There's all kinds of ministries going on. This is far from an exhaustive example of the things that are happening in our midst, but it's enough to kind of help us to understand what it really means to say yes. What it really means to say, you know what, I may not be able to do everything, but I can do this much. I may not be able to change the world. I may not be called or able to go to a foreign country, but here's something that I can do, that I'm willing to do, that I'm able to do right here. Is God asking you to do something, to be loyal? Fourth, in copying Abraham's faith, I guess just to take it right out there and say we need to do something for God. What is it that God is calling you to do? I mean, as a body of believers, each and every one of us play a role. And in that role, there's something that God is calling us to do. And there are things that are needed within the congregation to make it work. Nobody has a magic wand that just they wave it in the air and the platform gets decorated all nicely for fall. It would be great to do that, but if Jackie and John and some other folks didn't do it, it would still be red, white, and blue. You know, and it's a willingness to step up and say, I can't do everything, but here's something that I can do. Maybe it's just joining the prayer chain and being willing to pray for people that are in need, be it physically or spiritually or emotionally. Maybe it's a willingness to jump on a pickup truck and deliver some food boxes one Tuesday morning a month. Maybe you'd be willing to go and to spend 4 weeks up, well, actually, it's downstairs in the education wing, teaching our kids and working as part of the rotation there. We're always looking for more folks to help with your singing. All that we ask is that you sing better than I do. Maybe you could help with the live stream and make sure that people who can't be here on Sunday morning actually are able to see it, which would be really cool. Maybe God's calling you to run for a position on our church council as an elder, as a deacon, a deaconess, or a trustee, or as chairman of the board. Someone wrote a poem about this kind of a thing. It says, basically, I am only one, but still, I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. Are we willing to do that something to make a difference for people, to make things work? Is God calling you to do something? So many times I hear the statement, well, yeah, God might be calling me, but what's in it for me? Hebrews 6 tells us, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, God rewards those who diligently seek, but we have to diligently seek in order to receive the rewards. We always want to know what the reward is before we're willing to diligently seek. God doesn't work that way. He tells us, you seek, and he'll do the rewarding. And I know for true in my own life, as I diligently seek the God that loves me, the rewards all just kind of amaze. You stand there at times, you scratch your head. You may not understand how it all works, but it always seems to work in some way. Does it mean that bad things won't happen to you? Wouldn't that be cool? It would be great if bad things stopped happening to us, but the truth of the matter is, God says that he will be there, and if we diligently seek his faith, he is a great rewarder. We need to understand that God's rewarding doesn't necessarily fit into Arnie Kaufman's box. And it's those rewards that generally make me step outside of my box, because God, in his rewards, encourages me to do things that I may never have thought of otherwise. Are we willing to take that step for the God that loves us and cares for us? Fifth, in copying Abraham's faith, we need to be a child, not just any child, his child. Abraham's objective was to enter the promised land. And in entering the promised land, it was that place that God promised that he would be the father of a nation, a place for him to call home, a place where his family could grow, a place where they could live and be and not have to worry about others encroaching and who was going to attack his tent in the middle of the night. And so Abraham obeyed, and he went, and he decided in his relationship with God, that he was actually a child of God, and his offspring would then be ongoing in that relationship with God, and in so doing, they would be able to multiply greatly and become the nation that God wanted them to be. I've read the Bible cover to cover. I never found the spot Abraham got a house. He walked by faith, knowing what God had promised, and knowing that God always fulfills his promise. And so he traveled, and he went to the foreign land, and he pitched his tent, and he lived there. But he never got a house. He never was able to, I don't know, put down roots in so many ways. But he knew God had promised. And even though he didn't see it fulfilled, he knew God's promise. And you and I, we have the same thing. We know God's promise. God has promised us to always be there, to never leave us or forsake us. God has promised, if we put our faith in him, if we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, make him Lord of our lives, that he will come and be with us here while we're on this earth and prepare a place for us that will blow our minds when we get there. I have no idea what heaven is going to be like, but I know this, it's going to be way better than anything we could ever imagine. The descriptors that come from what heaven is like, they take the best of the things on earth, and they say, well, it's kind of like that, but it's better. So there's no flower that blooms on earth that won't be more beautiful in heaven. There's no child that's born on earth that won't be more beautiful in heaven. There's nothing here on this earth that won't be more beautiful in heaven, including you and I, because we have been forgiven. And that forgiveness, when the stain of forgiveness is wiped away from us as we journey from this life into the next, when perfection hits us, even pastors won't blow it, and we'll be able to be there in heaven and live in that perfect harmony. Wow. But we're not there yet. We're still here. And we still have work to do. And if we're going to copy the faith of Abraham, if we're going to be part of the sons and the daughters of Abraham, of those that are willing to serve the God that loves us, we need to be willing to take those steps and move forward. It would be really nice if God would come and tell me as a pastor what each and every one of you were supposed to do. But I found in my own life that when God wants me to do something, I'm the first person he talks to. So what we need to do is to be concentrating on our relationship with him so that when he comes and asks, we'll be able to take that step forward. And each and every one of us are in that same boat. So what's God calling you to do? I look around the room this morning and I know I could probably get at least half of us and say, you know what? This is what I see you doing. This is what I believe you're called to do, because that's kind of how that works. The things that we love, the things that are near and dear to our hearts, are the things that God wants us to do if our relationship with him is in the right place. So when our relationship with him is in the right place, the things that we desire are what God is asking us to do. Are we listening? What is it? Well, I heard it said of the songwriter. Wrote most of the hymns. Wesley, Charles Wesley, when he was asked, he said, why do you think people come to hear you preach? He said, it's simply this. God sets me on fire and people come to watch me burn. And so the question then comes to you, what is it that sets you on fire that the world would want to come and watch you burn? Let's pray. We just gather together in this place. And Lord, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're individuals that have come together to serve you and to be part of your kingdom. And Lord, I give you thanks for that. And this morning, as we've looked at Abraham and his willingness, his obedience, his loyalty, and his willingness to be used by you is just huge. And sometimes, Lord, we need just a moment to kind of stop in the midst of everything that we're doing and make sure that the things that we're doing are the things you want us to do. You ask us to just stop and upon you that you might speak to our hearts. And Lord, is there a course change that needs to happen? Are you calling us to something else? And if so, help us to be obedient unto you. Help us to hear your voice and take those steps. May our loyalty rise to the surface, that we can do all that you ask of us. Come and walk close to us, Lord. We need you here. We need you speaking to our hearts. So, Lord, help us to have faith. Help us to connect. Help us to truly walk with you. Amen.
Please stand and join Dee and I in singing our closing hymn, Love Lifted Me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me.
As we go from this place, may God's hand be upon us, each and every one. May our relationship with him continue to grow, that we might hear his voice and follow him. Amen.